creating cultural awareness and understanding. This is Culture Click. Culture Click is written and produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University.
The Winona Human Rights Commission and Winona State University sponsored a community forum in response to the recent displays of the Confederate flag and the Maplewood Townhome incident in Winona, Minnesota. Last week, we featured presenters Dr. Chuck Ripley, professor of English, Dr. John Campbell from the History Department, and Dr. Lee from the Political Science Department, along with Deanna Miller, Executive Director of the Women's Resource Center. Together, they presented the history of the flag, its past and current uses as a tool of political intimidation and domestic terrorism, its impact on community members, and how we as a public can positively respond to symbols of hate and intimidation. Today, we bring you the reactions of community members during the forum. First, you will hear responses to the accident that took place this summer when an 18-year-old Caucasian male driving a pickup truck with a Confederate flag displayed hit a small African-American child in the Maplewood Townhome housing community. After that, you will hear the public's reaction to the Confederate flag issue and racism in the Winona community. I'm Terry Tensett, and you're listening to Culture Click.
Yeah, and before I pass on the baton, again, our wider concerns here are how these issues play with the community. And we're not going to investigate August 24th, but we know that's a trigger point.
The black man was flying up.
He had his hand up first, and then maybe we'll...
That's fine. I just am really shocked that this happened, and this is a community that's feeling trauma from this incident, and I just want to know, this happened in my, this happened in Winona, in our town. How can we support you? This is a horrible thing that happened. How can we support you in this trauma? And also, does it feel like this happened out of the blue, or does it feel like there a culture was created where this was okay?
So it's legal for a guy with a Confederate flag to give the middle finger to kids, but I'll just bet you that if a young African-American man flipped off a cop, those are the kids that get shot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But all I know is one thing is that these people that are coming in this street out here and speeding up and down this street, okay, and these little kids are out here in packs, they're all over the place playing, and anybody that's driven through here knows that these kids are out here playing all the time. It don't matter if they're Asian kids, black kids, white kids, it doesn't matter. It's the fact is they're speeding through here, and this guy's been told numerous times to not do it. And I've heard all kinds of stories as to why he just keeps doing it. So for me, if I see children in the street out here playing, and I sit at the end of the street and rev up my motor and take off and go down the street, I'm still trying to figure this day how you could not see children crossing the street when you're on a straight stretch street going down the street. So that's my biggest problem, and I think people should speak up about that and find out why you didn't see this guy drive, this little kid in the street. Why didn't you see this little kid in the street? If you're driving this big old truck down the street, revving the motor up like you're whatever, and you can't see the child in the street. I don't hear nobody talk about that. I don't hear nobody. I want to hear people. I want some speed bumps put out here on the street.
Thank you.
Because if these damn people can't come in here and they want to be ignorant and drive through here that fast, they need to be forced to slow down. And obviously, you got to stick speed bumps where they're lame asses to figure it out. So basically, that's what I'd like to see done, and I'd really like to know why you can run a 4-year-old child over in the street like that and got no charges.
I live in Lake Village, and we have the same thing with people driving through there, like crazy people with all these little kids playing, all different ethnicities, and nobody seems to care. There's Confederate flags flying out there, which I personally don't like, but you know. I guess the thing I wanted to say most of all was this man driving through, I don't know the whole story, but he was flipping off these children. Obviously, there was some I feel like there was some churning going on before the episode happened. There was warnings that this was going to happen. Obviously, he was driving through. You know, the police were made attentive to that, weren't they? Before? I don't know. But I'm just saying I think it should be nipped in the bud. Instead of letting it go so far, when you know this jerk, or excuse me, my opinion, is riding through, you don't ride through and flip off little kids and have a Confederate flag and think that's not a bad issue. So that's what I think it should be addressed sooner than something happens like that.
I'm a mother of two, and I live not that far from here, probably just a mile or two at the most, and I feel that if an individual was in my neighborhood and I felt that they were threatening my kids by giving the finger or some other action, and if I called the police, which I very well might, I think they might show up or respond in some way. I can't say for sure, but I just wanted to address that.
Hi, my name is Judy. I'm a grandmother of some of the children who live out here. I'm also a friend of the gentleman that drove the truck. That little boy used to come over and play with my grandkids. And he got to know the driver of the truck. He had no reason. Everybody said he races down them roads. It just sounded like a big bashing of the driver of the truck. Well, that's not, because 95% of the people that race through those roads are black. And I'm sorry, because I hollered at them to slow down.
No, they are old. They're not black. They are old. 95% of the people that race through that road is old. They're not black. And if beating other men, if he got beat that man, why the hell they charged my 13-year-old with the beating of that man? He did not do all the damages that they said that happened. So cut it out.
No, that's why he's
the... They are all people that speed through that road, not all black. No. Cut it out. We ain't the only ones that got music and loud noise. Look at your radio, too.
Every race we here.
Because they always try to make it a black and white thing. They need a better black and white thing.
It doesn't need to be put on him alone.
He is somebody. He is a child. Why should it be put on him?
How fast is he going when he hit that child?
He was going fast enough where he hit a child that he didn't see.
He was going less than 10 miles an hour.
Then if he was only going 10 miles an hour, he'd have been able to stop before he seen when he seen that baby.
He went to get out to see how that baby was. Yeah, and was attacked.
I think he almost left.
Okay, time.
Just trying to recant that. Yes, there was a little boy that was hit, and we're very sorry for it, because we knew that little boy very well. But what would have happened if it would have been a little white boy?
Oh, the person who did would have went to jail. That's what would have happened.
How about the people that jumped him?
But the person that hit the child would have went to jail if it would have been a child of another race. That's all I'm saying. But unlike, that's not what happened in this case. The little boy was hit by somebody and he had no charges at all.
That's probably because he was just about beat to death on the road.
The police weren't going to do anything about it, so I really can't get mad at the people that jumped
on
him.
He's losing an eye thanks to the meeting.
I just have one more thing to say, but the Confederate flag is the reason why we're here, but the real reason why we're here is because a little boy got hit by a car. And that's something that should not have happened, regardless. And it's not just black people, it's a lot of people that speed up and down these streets on a daily basis, trying to get where they're going in a hurry. Please, anybody in here that does that, I would like for y'all to slow down. It's children that's always playing out here. It's children that need to be watched, you know? Look where you're going, slow down. It's not that hard. Or maybe we need to get a petition started to get some speed bumps put out here in our neighborhood to keep our kids safe. That's the main thing. And that's really all I really want to say. Thank you.
Up next, members of the community voice their opinions on the Confederate flag and what it means, along with their thoughts on racism in Winona. I'm Terry Tensett, and you're listening to Culture Click.
So I think that the Confederate flag as a symbol of hatred, which I think it is definitely one, I think that it, even though it disgusts me, I don't think we should make bearing that flag illegal. Maybe we should put conditions on, like, how you can act with it or something like that. I'm scared that censorship could happen to other things, and
I don't think the problem is the Confederate flag itself. It's mostly the reasoning behind the Confederate flag and the reason that the people are flying it. They can say it's heritage all they want, but I just don't believe that. I'm sorry. I really don't. And I mean, they can fly the Confederate flag all day. If you're not going around flipping off kids, it's fine. I mean, it's your prerogative. You have that freedom and that right to do so. But when you're making, how can I say this? Offensive gestures or offensively riding around with it on your car, knowing that you're provoking people to feel a certain type of way, then you should know it's not right. He knew it wasn't right. He knew that. He knew he was making people around here feel uneasy and disrespected. That's all I want to say.
Okay, very quickly, I'd like to get back to the topic of the Confederate flag. First, I saw that several friends of mine, we could sit down, have a cup of coffee in the morning before we go to work. We saw this guy drive by several times. It was a high rate of speed, you know, and we felt uncomfortable with it, to say the least. You know, and we're all white, and we were very uncomfortable, very disturbed by what was going on. Second point, like the young woman spoke earlier, I also, my mother's from the South, my mother's from Kentucky. I have relatives down there. I'm on Facebook with a young cousin, and, you know, in his mind, the Confederate flag is Bo and Luke Duke. And I sometimes wonder about people like that, if they really, really are in a position to appreciate how offensive this can be to other people. You know, and how do you reach out to somebody like that?
I'm just curious, as far as looking at topics such as this, that it's been brought up that the reasoning was heritage for being able to fly the flag. But I am curious as far as in situations like that, if people realize just how incendiary that is and how infuriating it is, and how they would appreciate it if other people chose other items such as burning a cross or other things along that line, some other things that people really take serious offense to, what they thought would feel and how they would react, and if they'd expect other people to react differently in a situation such as that.
I'd like to follow up on what you said. I do think that this young man and people like him, and I've had a conversation with someone who was flying such a flag in his pickup truck. I don't think that that is a symbol of heritage separate from race. I don't think those people would do the same if it was offensive to a different group of people. They are using a symbol that's offensive to a group of people who they feel they have the privilege to treat that way. If it was a different group of people, I don't think they'd do it. I don't think that we should lose sight of that. It's not an arbitrary symbol, not an arbitrary heritage. It's specific, it has to do with race, and that's, they know that. Maybe not consciously, but they know it. Otherwise, they wouldn't do it. They'd know what's wrong, or they would be afraid, one of the two.
I think there's been a lot of attacking in this room, and I think we would like, the way I would like to see it is if I was on the receiving end of that, I would like to feel that I would be willing to hear that a room full of people do not like my actions, and whether I believe in them strongly or not, I would like to think that I'd be willing to hear this tonight and take stock of it and be willing to change. And whether I believe in states' rights or not, I could hold that very strongly, but if a room full of people say that my actions and me flying this flag is offensive and makes them uncomfortable, I would like people to be able to hear that and change their actions.
I'm really grateful for this opportunity tonight to bring this to a public arena of some sort where the community at large can participate. This is going to sound like, I don't know what it's going to sound like, but I always go for sort of the big things, and I'm waiting to hear from Laura because she's been identified as a person much identified with a lot of these issues at the high school. But I'd like to know, in all of our Winona schools, including the colleges, how much discussion there has been in what I would call protected and reasoned environments where we would know the conversations would go on and something could happen that will get to young people, because I believe the young people are imitating the old people. I don't think they come up and have these ideas all by themselves. I think if you trace back to families, you'll see a lot of that happening in their families. And I said, for one of the few times in my life that I have agreed with Bill O'Reilly ever, but he said, you know, that young people today don't have to think and they don't have to know, because all they have to have with them is their technology. And I think we have to get somehow the conversations going all over about some of these things. And then to end, I'd like to know from John a bit more about your thinking about myth and symbol, because I think with some of these symbols, for example, the Confederate flag, they stay so long that they become a myth, and the people using them have no idea really anymore. I don't want to say nobody cares, but a lot of people are not going to be interested in your historical perspective tonight, because it will have, the Confederate flag has come to the level of myth. And so I think that there are so many of those discussions that we adults need to have in all the environments where they can happen. Okay.
Go ahead, John. Give it to you a shot.
She needs to learn to talk. That's true.
So I guess what I would like to say is that we talk about the Confederate flag all the time in my classroom and within Fortitude. We talked about it tonight. Nene can tell you we had a really good party. Oh, yeah. We had a lot of dancing this evening. It was really a lot of fun. We talked about the Confederate flag. And when I talk about Confederate flags with kids of all colors, some of my favorite human beings in the world say, "You mean a Confederate flag like this, Mrs. Hill?" And it's their screensaver. And I'm like, yes, favorite human. That's what it is. And they just don't know. And so, you know, I mean, that's what I'm always... So tonight, we were talking about the Confederate flag, and a couple of the kids, white kids, said, "We don't see what's wrong with the Confederate flag." And it was really nice because it was a beautiful situation with a whole lot of different kids, and they felt safe enough to say that, and we had a very nice conversation. And I don't know how we're going to make anything different if we don't have polite conversations with each other, you know, and just try to educate. Dr. Lee, why did they take down the flag out of South Carolina? What was the stated reason? Why did they pull it down this summer?
Oh, lots of reasons, but I mean, if you're asking me personally why they did it, or some type of social science explanation, I can offer both. Okay. In a larger sense, as John was saying, the flag didn't go up on the Capitol until the 1960s as a protest against the civil rights movement. Okay. Why it was taken down in 2015, felt pressure, the incidents in at the church. I mean, there are several factors that played a role in it coming down. You could say that the time was ripe. So I'm not sure exactly what factors weighed most heavily, but I certainly think those three did, right? The fact that people thought it was an outdated symbol, okay, even though South Carolina is the only state that doesn't approve the Martin Luther King holiday. The fact is, there are people there, you know, both of, you know, of all races, who thought, hey, it, you know, something needs to be done with it. Okay, and I think that the media coverage played a role, but I like to think that there are some well-intentioned people as well, you know, who would say, this is offensive to a large constituency. This is offensive to the people in the state. And if you want to be inclusive, then you have to try to be responsive. Yeah, so that would be a couple of my answers.
I guess what I remember a relative of Jefferson Davis standing up, a woman, and she if anybody had the right to say, this is a part of my heritage, it was her. And she gave an impassioned speech, and she said, it's time to take this down. We know what it means. And I'm asking everybody who has a flag to recognize that there are kids in Fortitude tonight who are traumatized. They were telling this story tonight, and it was traumatizing. The families of this community are traumatized. And whatever you thought it was in the past, it's no longer that. That symbol has turned into a symbol of hate. And I'm asking us to respect that. I'm sorry what you had to see.
I think there's been an effort in this country for decades to rewrite history and to make innocent what the Confederate flag means. And part of that, someone mentioned the Dukes of Hazzard. And it was just like, yeah, this is all just innocent fun. You know, these are harmless little rebels, you know. And so young people consider themselves rebels, right? They like the idea of being a rebel, and they want a flag for it. But we have so mistaught our young people and even our old people. The whole community has been so misled and made so ignorant about the Civil War. We have forgotten it. We've forgotten the Civil Rights Movement. I have a heritage. I'm real disgusted with some of the things I know about my ancestors. We don't have to be proud of our ancestors, you know? If they do bad things, we don't have to be proud of that. But there's a real effort to make us ignorant here, and so maybe some of those young folks don't know what that Confederate flag really means. They just think, I'm just a kid and I'm a rebel. I don't want authority telling me what to do. But we need to teach them, and I appreciate the teachers here. Everyone here is educating the community. This flag is a bad symbol. It stands for nothing good. It stands for nothing good. I can't stand seeing it ever. It's a bad thing, just like the Nazi flag. Let's educate people to make sure that no one can plead ignorance.
Bonjour. Yaginaganan. That means hello all of my relations, whether we're hurting, whether we're confused, whether we're scared, whether we feel attacked. I think we have to realize we are one human family, right? I heard earlier, we need to be our sister's keeper. We need to be our brother's keeper. If we can't rely on our police department to treat everyone equally, why can't we rely on our neighbors, right? When there's an argument, there's always two sides to the story. And if we spend all of our energy trying to prove which side of that story is correct, we're not going to have enough energy to fix the actual problem. I'm from South Central Wisconsin. Grew up in Janesville, Wisconsin, actually, which was a big hub for the KKK. I had no idea what that was going to be like until my dad was driving me down the road to show me where he worked. And we went into a cul-de-sac, and we saw all these boards in the cul-de-sac. And in the boards, there were nails sticking up through the wood. And my dad pulled in there just to turn around because he was showing us the factory that he delivered cars to at GM. And he pulled into this, and he's like, oh my God, they're gonna pop our tires. And men with chains came off the porch that were living in the cul-de-sac. I've never felt that fear before, never. And I was probably like 6 years old, and I've never forgotten it. So we have to remember that our children don't know any better. We teach them what to fear. We teach them how to treat each other. And I think you have a very good point. We have to provide these safe spaces for these conversations. We need to provide an example for our children. Yelling at each other is not going to do anything. It may make us feel better in the short term, but when we go home, we know we didn't solve anything. This is a big problem. It took us a lot of time to get here, and it is not going to take a blink of an eye to fix. And I just wanted to say thank you for everybody sharing. And I wanted to say, even though you may be feeling alone, I felt the emotion in your voice when you said it was about heritage. I'd like to hug you. If we don't treat each other with love, we're not going to get love. That's all I would like to say.
I grew up in Winona. I went to Fortitude every day. I never missed a week. I loved it. I dated a Hispanic male all through high school, and I loved him. I fell in love with him. And the black people of this community, the Asian people, the Hispanic people, they accepted me. The white people didn't. I went home every day crying. And no one ever became friends with me except for the racial people of this community. And for that, I'm ever grateful. And when I went to Mrs. Hill her class, and I saw her play and I saw how much it made an impression, it meant something to me. And I think that it should mean something to everybody else in this room. It's not about what color you are, it's not about what you believe in, it's about who we are. We're a human race and we need to stick together. And that's what I learned in Fortitude. And I will always stick by that, no matter who I hang out with, no matter what I think. That's what I'm always going to stick with, and I think everybody should think that way.
I just wanted to say one more thing. My intention with coming to this meeting was to learn what the Confederate flag really represented, because in my eyes it always represented racism and negativity. That was my personal thoughts. Mr. Campbell, when he was speaking, educated me. It just what I thought it was, it is. And people can sit and say, everybody's got their idea of what it is, but I think I'm glad I came to hear everyone's opinion. Everybody has a right to their own opinion. But I looked up on the internet before any of this even came out in the community. I, a long time ago, looked up on the internet what the meaning of the Confederate flag was, because I honestly didn't know. I thought it was a bad thing. I see it flown, you know. I thought, well, maybe there's something to this. I don't know. And now, with what I heard tonight, I believe it is a bad thing.
When Dr. Campbell was talking, he talked about how there was various Confederate flags and various meanings. And I think it's somewhat important that there's a northern history of the Confederate flag. It's not just a southern thing. And the Confederate flag came into prominence in the north in the 1920s when the Klan came into prominence in the north. And one quarter of Protestant men, white men in the north, was a Klan member. So in the north, the flag is the Klan. I'm almost never in Maplewood, and I live three quarters of a mile from here. But you don't accidentally come to Maplewood because it's two dead-end streets. So if you are known for driving through Maplewood with a Confederate flag and revving your engine at the end of the street, you weren't here by accident. You knew the neighbors or the neighborhood, or you made a guess, and you're trying to scare people. And I think that, I mean, like you said, guy got jumped. But if he'd hit a white kid, he'd have probably gone to jail. He probably wouldn't have got jumped. And I don't know, that's probably not terribly coherent, but that's my random thoughts.
Several ancestors who fought for the Confederacy, and thankfully one who left Alabama and joined the Union Army, so I have people on both sides. But as a Southerner, I can tell you what the flag means. It means the Klan. As a growing up, a white child, affluent white child in the South, if we saw the Confederate flag, we were scared. And we were safe, but we were scared because we knew it was the Klan. So as a Southerner, it is not heritage. It is not about my great-grandfathers. It is about the Klan. And I think we need to name it for what it is, say it's what it is, and not talk about all this heritage. It's not true. It's just not true.
Do we have anybody who hasn't spoken who would like to speak?
Me.
Diana.
My only thoughts are, is an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth will only make the world toothless and eyeless. And I see nowhere on this agenda where we'd be talking about the accident that happened a couple of weeks ago. So I would like to get back to what the Confederate flag meant. Regardless of what, if other groups have used it as hate, like I understand everybody in this room might think that it represents hate and racism. And if that does, I'm sorry. But to us, we have adopted this flag as a way of how we feel and how we live. Not to show fear or terror into anybody's eyes. We've adopted this flag to show that we have big trucks, we like to fish, we like to hunt. We like to work hard. Just blue collars.
I just got to put my two cents in here. I just moved here from Fairmont, Minnesota. It's a small town, southern Minnesota. That's beside the point. Where I'm from, it represents exactly what you were talking about. Big trucks, hunting, fishing, nothing. That's, the flag really has nothing to do with this. The whole problem at hand is the issue really of racism and how to protect the kids here. Protecting the kids here, we have speed bumps in some of the smaller, out of the way communities there. Those speed bumps help tremendously with speed. I know I've gone through there, and it's a pain to go through there, yes, but it slows you down tremendously. And two, racism, we should not forget our history. If we forget our history, we're doomed to repeat it. But we should also be taught to love and respect each other no matter what. You judge people on whether they're a piece of shit. You don't judge them on the color of their skin. Thank you.
Hi, so I am now currently a sophomore at Winona State, and I also came from a suburb in Minnesota, and I know plenty of people who identify with hunting and big trucks and fishing, and I understand that. But I did not see the Confederate flag pop out of all of that until it became a problem. I think the Confederate flag has now been introduced as another aspect of white privilege to be indirectly racist, if I'm going to be honest. A lot of the people that I'm now seeing it post on social media, making it their cover photos or blending their faces with it, I think it's a very indirect way to say, oh, I don't care if this hurts your feelings and I don't care if this makes your race uncomfortable. It's what I like and it makes me feel powerful, and it enhances that privilege I have as being a white person. And I think that is a huge problem that we need to consider is white privilege and all sorts of privileges that are used against people to create these inequalities that we have in the world. And it goes beyond race, it can go to gender and all sorts of things. But it's basically the fact that in this situation and in the fact of using the Confederate flag, it's just another tool to empower white privilege. And that's why there's a problem with it.
I want to know who feels safe in this community with the flag fly.
What?
Who feels safe? And I want to know who does not. Because it makes me highly uncomfortable. It makes me fearful. I don't want to walk the streets at night. I'm a college student. What does this say about our community? does it say that we are seeing it as a symbol? Because that might be the problem. Are we seeing it as hatred also? Because that's what comes with some of the symbols that we have. We talked about the Ku Klux Klan already tonight. We've talked about how it is to represent a different culture too. And how that this flag is some of the things that we're trying to over-symbolize. And that sometimes we have to look back and look at history and leave it there. Sometimes we need to create our own social systems, our new ways of living, and we need to move on from the past. But without the past, we cannot make this new future that we are looking for.
I just want to say, I just moved here 6 months ago from Chicago, and I never in my life, not once, had to go through what I'm going through here now. There was never a racist thing from where I was from, where I'm from, and where I grew up from. I get here, and it seems like it's a racist thing. And for the ones that just raised their hands, no offense, but it just boiled my stomach for you all to say that you feel safe with that flag. Because whoever does not stay in housing, you cannot say that you feel safe. Because for this man to sit up here and slow down for his own kind, but he see our kind and he speeds, that's the problem. And when it comes down to that, from what I just heard, he just hit another kid about a week ago. And now that this one is out of the hospital, what yet? Now that he's out the hospital, no charges are being brought up against this man because what was done to him? Number one, you got us with the Confederate flag. We have people up in here of your kind that agree with us and say that that is a racist thing. Number two, if his own father has told this man plenty of times to slow down, there are kids out here, and he did not listen, he deserved what he got. I'm sorry, but it needs to be spoken up. Number three, he has no charges against him because of what was done to him. I feel it's equal rights. There should be charges on both ends. I'm not picking sides, but when it comes down to it, he should have gotten charged for hitting this little boy because he was told that it was a little boy crossing the street and he sped up. So for those in here, and I'm looking at the ones who raised their hands and said that they felt safe, you can feel safe. You don't have to live here 24/7. You all don't have kids that stay in this area. And there is going to be a petition for speed bumps if I have to start it up myself. Thank you.
We said we go to 8:30, so we'll take 5 more minutes of conversation, then we'll let Diana from the Women's Resource Center have our closing remarks.
Well, I guess I'd just like to direct it back to in the back room. You said you feel really strongly about hunting and fishing and all of that, and that's what the Confederate flag means to you. Do you feel any different about it now that you know it makes people in the community feel unsafe?
It does. It does make me feel, I guess, remorseful that it makes you guys feel that you want to,
I guess, feel that it makes you scared or in terror. And, you know, knowing the history of it, I can understand that. But what I'm here for is to say that we have adopted it into a different way. Like those other groups, yeah, they might be still flying it and doing whatever they were doing, you know. But we're over here doing what we're doing. We don't mean any kind of harm. We're just flying a flag that represents what we think our way of life is, or how we feel it is. And, you know, if it becomes such a huge issue, then I'm sorry, but my rights do not end where your feelings begin. And with that,
why not a flag with a big truck on it?
Yeah.
Do you know what?
Why not Duck Dynasty?
Because they're fake.
Come on. Everybody, please be respectful. I apologize about that. Do you want to finish?
No, I'll let him take over.
I understand full well the ugliness behind the Confederate flag. I don't buy the idea that there's still hatred because education has failed. Education is always thrown out as an easy way to fix things. If education fixed things, we would have educated the evils out of the human heart a long time ago. I find repugnant the ideas behind the Confederate flag. I do want, and it's a terrible thing, and one of the reasons I came is there have been conflicting accounts of what actually happened in the car accident, and where the child was hurt and the driver was hurt. And that's bad in two ways at a human level. I still don't know what happened. But I do want to say that this was introduced as an environment in which it would be a safe place to have this conversation. And the way that people have directed their anger, however authentically felt and however legitimate, at certain parties who had the courage to stand up and speak their piece in a room full of people who felt the other way, then people who made it personal like that are not abiding by the rules. So I wanted to say that. If indeed there's going to be a chance we talk our way out of these things, it will not be the way that this has been conducted tonight, because the small number of people here who had the guts to come and speak their piece, which is, by the way, as authentic and heartfelt as is yours or mine, look at the way that we treated them, and perhaps we should ask ourselves if the people in this room are sufficiently capable or have the wherewithal to have the kind of conversation that it will take to fix this ugliness, because we have not been a very good example here tonight.
Is there anyone who hasn't spoken?
Well, my observation, it's that as a community, just with us in here, and to the wider community out there, if we can't have a courageous conversation about race, about any topic, about our differences, what does that say about our whole community here? I believe that through arguments, through differences, there's growth, there's understanding. That's what I want from all of us as community leaders, community members. I know Maplewood Townhome here has a bad rap, but it doesn't mean that we have to constantly be divided because of socioeconomic status, because black, white, Hmong, Latina, Latinos, it don't matter. We have to come together as a community so that we feel comfortable to shake our neighbor's hands and ask for help. That's all I want to say.
Okay, I am Diana Miller from the Women's Resource Center, and I also teach a course at Winona State called Gender Violence in Society. And some of you have been very eloquent at making many of the points that I was going to make tonight, so I thought maybe that some of my points could just wrap this up. And on symbols, symbols are powerful. Symbols hold messages. They may hold the message we want them to hold. They may hold other messages. They may hold all of those. But when a symbol such as the Confederate flag is embedded into a situation that's racially charged, embedded in a situation in which our neighbors and community members who are of groups that have traditionally been oppressed, is embedded in a situation that draws worldwide attention, I mean, that's a symbol that holds messages that are bigger than one auto accident and bigger than a few individual guys beating up or assaulting another guy. So this is a symbol that has historically and traditionally, and I also was raised in the South, and although I am not quite as old or quite as credentialed as Dr. Lee, I remember many of the same times as a child when during the Civil Rights Movement, and I know that this is a symbol of power over others and not of shared power. And as a feminist, as a woman, as a person who I think shares a fear for her body, which some people in this room have power and privilege not to have to experience, but others of us do walk around with that, and that's just part of who we are because of our gender or because of our race. That symbolism of power over is something that is too easy for us to misuse, and for those who do have power over others to minimize, and to then in turn even vilify those who don't have that power, who don't share that power. So I think this is great that we have tried to unpack the incident, and I think that this is a good start toward unpacking bigger issues that we have locally and that we have as a society. And I want us all to remember that when we help people who are the most oppressed, when we stand with those who are the most oppressed, we're helping ourselves. And that's, you know, that's the way to do it, for all of us to try to strive for equality and for a shared power and for shared responsibility. That's what we all, I think, have to do. So thanks very much for being here. And I've been told that if you want to continue to talk, please do.
Thank you to the Winona Human Rights Commission and Winona State University for the Community Justice Forum, Responding to Hate in Winona. More information on this forum can be obtained by contacting Dr. Chuck Ripley via email at wripley, that's W-R-I-P-L-E-Y, at winona.edu. I'm Terry Tensett, and you've been listening to Culture Click.
Creating cultural awareness and understanding. You've been listening to Culture Click. Support for Culture Click is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Culture Click is produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. For more information, look us up on the web at kqal.org. And thanks for listening to Culture Click.